Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in. Welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words mean the world to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every single Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every song is a story. Tonight's guest is Mark from Brewster. Brewster is the only country band in New Jersey not afraid of heights. The indie rock outfit has been playing heartwarming, nostalgic, and rootsy tunes written by Mark Busey around the country since the release of Forever Better Kissers in early 2019. Me and My Somersault is the first single off the band's new, even rootsier, teeth-bearing album, Honey Shake Me, due out on April 7, 2023.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Mark. How you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit about Brewster.
Brewster is the name of this band. I like to describe it as the only country band. Is he not afraid of heights? That is, of course, tongue-in-cheek. But we're located in New Jersey, but before the pandemic, we kind of played around the country a little more than here at home. And now we're starting up again for the first time after the pandemic has ended. It started out as a vessel songwriting, which is why it's so exciting to be on this show specifically. And this album is kind of the first one with participation from the live band, who has really become like Brewster the band now. So it's still my songwriting and playing and everything, but I've got contributions from people that have been there since around the touring for the first record, Forever Better Kissers.
Okay. And what is your role in the band?
I do the singing, I guess the lead singing, you could call it. I play rhythm guitar, and I am the songwriter and composer and arranger. And on the records that are, you know, released so far, I play nearly everything also. So kind of the main vein.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your songwriting process, right? This is The Songwriter Show. How do you get started?
Yeah. So I am a big believer in a song will show you what it wants to be. But I don't think that that means that there isn't work to be done. I write in the mornings. That's the time when I can like tap into whatever's going on in my subconscious that wants to be created without being interfered with by, I don't know, daily anxieties or even just small like to-do list type of things that you think about. I find that the first time when I wake up, like while I'm having my coffee, I have a couple hours where I'm not rearranging what I'm thinking. I'm not like editing while I'm writing, and I'm able to like, I don't know if you're familiar with doing morning pages or anything like that, but it's very that type of thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm a guitarist first before I was songwriting. So I'll sit down with my guitar and I'll do like almost like a meditation kind of thing where I'll just start picking a pattern or throwing some random chords together or something until it sort of settles on something that's feeling pleasing to me at the time. And then I kind of just like loosen up my throat and start humming something that usually falls within key. And then I'm just kind of very much riffing. Like, I don't even know if riffing is the right word. It's very like not in my mind. I'm just kind of letting my body do things. And that will usually start to settle into like nonsense words and a melody and like whatever is inside of me at that moment. I feel that's a really natural way for it to start to come out. And I do that for about 15 minutes or so while I have a voice memo running and recording that. If something starts to repeat and catch hold, I'll be able to tell like, okay, this is something that I like that I'm going to want to repeat. And then I'll stop and I will come back maybe an hour later after breakfast and coffee and all that. And I'll listen to it, pick out the part that felt like it was really trying to show me something I'll either refigure out how to do it, or if I know what was going on, I'll play it again. And then I'll start listening to the nonsense words I was saying, trying to pick out what words were popping up, and going from there, kind of, and letting the story start to form from what I started.
And then what do you do? Do you have someone drop a groove on that, or what's the rest of the process with the band specifically?
With this stuff so far, I actually use a drum machine to put down a very simple groove I was thinking. Usually the song structurally and lyrically, with just that, because the groove is very important to me, so I want that to be really present. But then I just, I want it to be a good song, one instrument and voice first, and then I'll expand from there. And then it gets to the band usually by the time I can say, okay, this is a finished song that I need help expanding on, as opposed to this is a verse I have, what should the chorus be, or something like that.
Tell us a little bit about what got you started down this road of music.
Well, I come from a musical family, and my parents were always very encouraging that I do something creative. And that started with like piano lessons when I was a kid. And eventually, by the time I was a teenager, I started playing guitar. And I was very involved with the New Jersey punk and ska scene when I was a teenager. And that evolved into like a folk punk thing by the time I was like 16, 17, sometime in the early 2000s. And that always kind of stuck with me as I grew up and got really interested in songwriting in that kind of more rootsy, kind of maybe folk, maybe country kind of way. And although my writing has changed a ton throughout my life, it really came from starting to play shows when I was a teenager, putting shows together, meeting other bands, making other bands, and letting, creativity and songwriting, playing in a band, be a space, feel different than the rest of our lives.
Okay, do you have a favorite musician or band?
Great question. I don't know if I can pick a favorite. I'm listening to a lot of Dylan recently, but I would never say Dylan's my favorite because I would feel like I'm insulting so many other songwriters. But favorite songwriters, I mean, yeah, Dylan's up there. Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen, Jason Molina from Songs Ohio is big for me, and David Berman of the Silver Jews. Just that kind of world. And then, your Townes Van Zandts and such. You can probably get a clear picture from that.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about you guys gigging, touring. What are you guys doing with that regard?
We are going to be touring throughout April, right around the release of this record, hitting a bit of the Rust Belt in the Midwest, not hitting the South yet, although that will probably come in the summer, but basically leaving from New Jersey, heading east, and kind of looping back around through Indianapolis and coming back. We'll be out for about 10 days or so.
Okay, do you guys think your band specifically, what's the biggest advantage you have versus other bands?
I do think that it's pretty unique the way that we use country music as a vessel for a type of music that you don't really hear coming out of country music a lot. I think it's experimented on and put in context that you don't hear a bunch. That's really, I think, characteristic to the way that I write and sing, but isn't too far removed from the type of music people listen to in, like, say, an indie rock kind of context. I think that's pretty unique for us.
What does 2023 have in store for you? Anything that you want to share with the fans? Any surprises?
Surprises, not maybe that I'm ready to reveal yet, but I mean. Definitely the release of our second record is very exciting. We've, sitting on this for a really long time and really excited to finally get it out there. There will be some more singles coming up, and then heading out on that tour. It's the first time that we've been out since late 2019. We were supposed to be out pretty much leaving, like, I think it was March 12th or something like that, like the year of the pandemic. We had this really big tour that we were going to go on, and that got canceled, and we kind of haven't gotten everything together until now to go back out again. So I think the most exciting part is just getting back out there and putting out new songs and just doing it again,
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this song we're going to hear. What inspired it? What do you want us to take from it when we're listening to it?
Oh, Me and My Somersaults is Yeah, it's the first single off the new record, and it can act as a bit of a motif for the themes on the record. Sonically, there is something that appears on this record a lot. The whole record is about driving, and it is specifically there are some reoccurring characters in songwriting. None by name or anything like that. There are some yous and he's and she's and such, that kind of thing. I mean, I'm hesitant to go too far into it because I want the listener to imagine themselves in these situations. But it is about kind of a free-for-all road trip that two people go on to kind of as a last-ditch effort to feel good, you know?
Yeah.
This song is the first track on the record, and it has a really steady kind of booming drum beat that I always imagined felt like the white lines on the highway flying towards your windshield as you're going on the highway for a long time. And then the landscape around you shifting and changing kind of feels like the more psychedelic elements of the song, but rootsy and country still. So it feels the same way like driving by a cornfield does or something. You know, I feel like it's a really good sonic representation to that. And lyrically, it is, to me, it's the beginning of somebody deciding that they're going to leave on some kind of last-ditch effort like that.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take a listen to your song, and then we'll come back and talk some more, okay? All
Great, yeah.
right, awesome, everybody. Check this out. Here we go.
It's not like
Cool song, dude. Thank you for sharing it
Thank
with
you.
the fans tonight.
Sure.
So, what would you say is the importance of connections in the world of music?
Man, I think that's just everything. Connections, especially for this project. I mean, that started out as a solo venture. I have been playing in bands, as I mentioned before, since I was a teenager. And by the time I was in my 20s, I was starting to feel like I wasn't working well with other people. Like, I felt like I kind of had it on my shoulder, like my ideas maybe weren't being listened to enough, or I could never get anybody to relate to my ideas in a way that they wanted to expand upon them in a way I would have wanted them to. And so I kind of gave up on that in, I think it was 2015 or so, something like that. And I was just touring with other bands and not contributing songwriting. And I had it in my head, okay, I've got to start a solo thing where I do everything because I guess that's just what I need as a songwriter. And I did that for a really long time. And then as it goes, I wanted to have a live band. I just wanted every member in the live band to come on board because they were following my vision, because I had never really done that kind of thing before, like my vision alone. And I got such a great group of people that the connections we made through that pushed the boundaries of my songwriting and expanded upon them in a way that I wasn't anticipating, which kind of made it a little more pure. And that has developed over the last 4 years to a way where I'm comfortable saying, okay, Brewster is the band. And yeah, it may be my voice at the center, like literally, and then songwriting voice as well. But the connections that I've made with these people in this band has been, I think, what makes this record especially good and what will continue to make everything about this band really good.
So, what are like the typical mistakes you find yourself making in this profession over and over that you can't shake?
I am absolutely a perfectionist on the recording side. And the biggest mistake that I make over and over is I keep insisting that I'm going to record and mix myself. And I'm a professional mixing engineer, and I have been for a very long time. Like, I'm very good at it. And I don't think anybody is going to listen to this record or anything I've done and hear that anything's wrong with it. In fact, I made sure that nothing's wrong with it, I really love the way that it came out, but the process of getting it there, because it was my own stuff, I feel like I get removed to it. It's harder to get to a point where you think that what you're listening to is art that you created, and it kind of becomes like a math problem to solve. And I always saw that as a consequence that I was willing to take on. And after this process and the process that's been going on since of just creating and going to the band and having songs, like, I am officially fully done with doing that and re ready to give the control over to other parties,
You have an advantage as a mixing engineer, right? But then there's also a disadvantage, like you said, where you can be a perfectionist and sometimes you gotta let it go. And that's a tough balance, man.
It really is. And I'm a perfectionist about being not perfect too, which is kind of the whole thing. Like, as a mixing and producing engineer and all that, one of my biggest pet peeves is really sterile recordings that are really on the grid and really clean sounding and, kind of just the modern standard of making music. And the kind of things that I'm influenced by are not like that at all. And they're from a band in a room, making mistakes and expanding upon what those mistakes brought to them. And so what I end up doing is like crafting a almost like mathematical formula of how can we leave room for ourselves to make the mistakes that are going to make this better, which worked really, really well. The formula worked. I love it. It's awesome. I don't have any regrets about that. My regret is I didn't need to be a perfectionist about not being perfect. Like, next time I'm going to just not be perfect,
Yeah, I gotcha. When you look at your band and your role in it, what's the best career advice you've ever gotten or received as an artist, with a band, just in general?
The best advice I can give is do not look at your Spotify numbers, do not look at your follow count, do not look at who's liking and sharing or whatever. Do your best to be present for your audience in the ways that are modern and the way that things are done now, because there's no avoiding that. But don't get caught up in that. Get out there and play shows, make connections with people in person, play with bands that you like, that music makes you feel good. Don't put together a bill because you want the most heads at a show. Put together a bill because you love the bands and you're friends with them. Keep make you know, don't make music that you think is going to push you forward. Make music that you want to make that feels good, that feels true. Constantly do that and constantly gig and, buy a van, go on tour. Get a job that allows you to go on tour so you can go on tour. Don't lose your happiness, but really push yourself to do that, because I think that if you make music that is true and resonates with you and gig your butt off so people can hear it, I mean, if it felt true to you, it's going to feel true to other people as well.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. What's the strangest, weirdest compliment you've ever gotten for your music or your songs?
Somebody just, and I actually put this in the bio for today, but people have been telling me, I put out a song recently with another band I'm in called Boulevard Club for the Big Man, which is a group between me, Brewster, and some peers I have, Charlie Stick and Seamstress. And it's more for just like some silly synth pop bops. And it was a way to expand our artistry and do something more throwaway. You can find that on the Brewster page and all that. But in that process of releasing it, a comment I kept getting was that it made them feel nostalgic. And people have always told me that my songwriting makes them feel nostalgic. And I think that's pretty cool and strange, because I like to think that I try to look forward more than back. But if it makes you feel nostalgic, that's great. So does like a good sweater, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a little bit about your future plans with the band. Is it something you think the band, you guys tight, you're gonna stay together forever? You guys have this as a short-term project?
Oh yeah, forever. This is, I'm gonna, clearly I can't stop this myself. Like, I'm gonna be making music no matter what. Yeah, the band is, I feel like we're really just getting started again after the pandemic kind of knocked us down a couple rungs. I'm ready to keep climbing. The band is in no way, shape, or form ready to stop. So only up from here.
It's awesome, man. All right, tell us where people can buy your stuff, stream it. Where can they reach out to you guys?
So any social media that we have, which is all of them, you can find us at Brewster Tunes, BrewsterTunes. Tunes as in music, not as in cartoons. And we've got a record out from 2019 called Forever Better Kissers that is lovely and is on all of the streaming sites. So whatever your platform is, that includes Deezer and Napster and all the ones not in America as well. And Honey Shake Me, the new record, will be out April 7th. And you can find that at all the aforementioned places. And it really helps us when you go on there and save that new single that just came out to a playlist, give us a like and a follow and all that, because that really helps us reach people that like the stuff and not have to depend on the algorithm so much, which is what we really are striving for.
Awesome, man. I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight, buddy.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And to any listeners out there, thank you so much for listening. We both hope your unique story gets heard around the world. And thank you for spending a little bit of your precious time with us tonight. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. Have a great night, everybody. I love you guys.
you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you.